We are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien. Now, last week, Jeff, I'm going to jump right into it. We had the sheriff of Wright County, Sean Derringer, was with Rob Doerr, vice president of the Gun Owners Caucus of Minnesota or something like that. I know that I probably just, butchered it, but they look out.
Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus.
Yeah, but they look out for your gun rights. And mm-hmm. we talked about it, and there were four bills at that time that were on the table in the state legislature. Two of them are dead already, which is great news. And explain what those are and what's left.
Yeah, so there was a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing, I believe it was Wednesday or Thursday of last week, and Senator Ron Latt, Democrat from St. Louis Park, who's the chair of that committee, said these are the only gun bills we're going to hear this year. And so they passed out of committee the expanded background check bill as well as the red flag bill. The two that did not make it out were the safe storage bill, which was the law that was going to require you to store your gun separate from your ammunition.
Yes.
And then the other bill that we discussed last week, that bill where the if you had your gun stolen, you could be fined for not report, charged with a crime for not reporting it. So those two are dead, and what's left are the expanded background check bill and the red flag bill. And the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus had a rally on Saturday with Second Amendment opponents at the Capitol to try to garner support and bring people out to show their opposition to those two bills. And I know that Rob and the Gun Owners Caucus are working on identifying one or two DFL senators that would vote against those bills in the Senate, because the House is done. They've got, like, I think a 6 or 7 vote majority in the House, and in the Senate they've only got the 1 vote majority. So that's where these are going to fail. And from our discussion last week, probably pretty confident that they were going to find one or two Democrats probably up north that said this is a bridge too far.
Well, if it didn't get out of committee, that would mean some Democrats said no to it, right?
Yes. And I don't know about if they didn't get out of committee, or if they just didn't, or if Senator Latz just didn't take them up. But he said, his comment was, these are the only gun bills we're going to deal with this session. And so I don't know the fate of the other two. All I know is they aren't going to the full Senate for a vote. That's all I know.
All right. Well, the biggest one here, I mean, both of them are, neither of them are good, but the red flag law one is terrible, because mm-hmm. if you have a dispute with a neighbor, or it could be a spouse, the two spouses who are getting divorced and one is pissed off at the other one, all you have to do is call the cops and say, hey, they have guns, I'm scared of them. And they'll take mm-hmm. come and take your guns without cause, right? Is there a hearing before a judge? There's nothing. They just come and get the guns, right?
No. Right. And there's already, Bob, there's already laws in place on the harassment restraining orders that you can go get an ex parte order, meaning not having to inform the other side, to be able to get that kind of order. And a lot of times I've had situations where someone says, I know they have a gun, and that's enough to get the harassment restraining order. So again, it becomes the question of, what is the point of these bills? Why do they need them? There's other laws that have the same, that accomplish some of the same goals without violating somebody's constitutional rights. The background check one is bad too. If you remember the discussion last week with the sheriff, there's no fees for these expanded background checks. And he said he was going to have to hire 2 more full-time people just to process the paperwork on these background checks. So it's basically an unfunded mandate on law enforcement.
The typical of the state legislature. I mean, these uh-huh. people are just, again, I it's like kids at a candy store. And this is why we should never have all three, the representatives, the Senate, and the governor, all from the same party, whether it's Republican or Democrat, because they get giddy with power. And it's frightening, absolutely frightening what can happen. Also, for a lot of people, this is a clunky transition, but they were probably frightened to look at their brackets in the NCAA tournament. I can't imagine there could be more than a handful of people who might have taken Connecticut. I can't imagine anyone taking any, certainly not San Diego State or Florida Atlantic or even Miami. I mean, the top seed there is Connecticut, and they were a 4 seed. And then you had, San Diego State and Miami are both fives, and Florida Atlantic is a nine. And that Florida Atlantic team, they are good. And so is San Diego State with Brian Dutcher as the coach, who should be the coach at Minnesota. His dad was the coach here, Jim Dutcher. And he's done a terrific job out. And I think he's won five of their conference titles, and he's done a terrific job. Then again, why would you want to leave San Diego to come back here, right, even though you're from here originally?
Right, exactly. No, I don't know. I don't know how anybody is doing. I see a lot of posts online about brackets being busted. Without naming names, I know somebody in our firm's pool that used artificial intelligence and ChatGPT to pick their bracket. They're doing okay. So I'd be curious to know, if those of you that use ChatGPT or some other AI app, how they're doing in their brackets versus somebody that just picked based on actual basketball knowledge.
Then quite honestly, they can't be a very intelligent artificial intelligence if they would have picked one of these four teams to win a national title. Maybe Connecticut. Good
point. Yeah.
That would be the only one. And how many, the number of people, somebody's going to wind up winning the bracket or has already, because they don't have any of the four in the final four. So a lot of these brackets probably are done already it's just incredible how bad it's been for people with brackets. I'm glad I didn't fill one out this year, because I certainly wouldn't have picked one of those teams. I mean, I would have thought maybe Texas, but
I think I probably would have gone with Marquette, so I would have been out too.
Yeah. And now, if you have the Gophers in your Frozen Four bracket, you got a shot. They play, Boston University. And so that's a good thing, like we said. But you think, it'll be in likelihood, although Quinnipiac is a really good team, and they're the second seed, Michigan's the third seed, those two teams will play in one of the semifinals. That Michigan team is pretty darn good, and they're out. I mean, they knocked off the Gophers in the Big Ten tournament, so that's a good team.
They did. Unfortunately for those of us Minnesota hockey fans, and when I say Minnesota, I don't mean just Gophers. I mean those that like all of the Minnesota schools. The NCAA, in their infinite wisdom, decided to shove the three Minnesota schools that made the tournament, Gophers,
absolutely
St. Cloud State, and Minnesota State Mankato, all into the same region out in Fargo. So the Gophers, St. Cloud State beat Mankato in the first round, and then the Gophers beat St. Cloud State in the second round. So the Gophers are the only Minnesota team left in the tournament. And there's been some, accusations of, they don't really want Minnesota's, oversized influence on the tournament. So, I'm cheering for the Gophers, but history is what it is. I just have a bad feeling that this may end up being Michigan's championship this year, Bob. But I hope I'm wrong.
It could be, but also, I mean, the teams that advanced, you have the top three seeds advancing, so that's not, that's a good thing. At least there's that.
Yep.
Maybe one of them, St. Cloud or Mankato, could have, if they'd been elsewhere, they may not have advanced other than maybe being the BU with Boston University. Now, I want to mention this last thing before we wrap up. Jeff, there's been a lot of people who have issues with transgender athletes, particularly female transgender athletes, or those who identify as female, participating in women's athletics. The World Athletic Council, which oversees international track and field, said transgender women no longer can compete in elite competition against biological women. So that is something that it's going to be interesting that, if there's a ripple effect down through college and high schools. Right now, there isn't, a transgender woman can compete, or a girl, transgender girl can compete in athletics. So we'll see where it does wind up.